Hi, my name is Brian Keller. I'm a technical evangelist for Visual Studio. And in this video, I'm going to be giving you a quick introduction to how to use Visual Studio Online to host your next software development project. To get started, go to www.visualstudio.com. From there, you can click on Products, Visual Studio Online, and you can start with a Visual Studio Online basic account that you can always upgrade later. Once you're there, click on Get Started for free. From here, you can specify your Microsoft account credentials. And sign in. You'll need to provide us a little bit more information and decide whether or not you want to opt into some additional information we can email you. And then specify the name of your tenant. So this tenant name is going to be the name that you'll use when you connect to the cloud in the future for accessing your Visual Studio Online account. Once you've created your account, you'll need to create your first team project. I'll create one, give it a description, and then you have a choice to make about whether or not you want to use Team Foundation version control or Git. Git offers a distributed version control model, and Team Foundation version control is a centralized version control option. Both options are going to give you all of the integrated ALM capabilities offered by Visual Studio Online. So you can still link all of your changes to things like requirements and bugs, and you could take advantage of our hosted build controllers, and you can start to track all of your projects and all of the different artifacts as they relate to one another. So you can decide by clicking on the Learn More button to learn a little bit more about the various options for each one. But for this particular project, I'll just stick with the traditional Team Foundation version control. And then finally, you need to select what process template you're going to use. We ship three process templates. The most simplified process template is the Scrum process template, and it's going to be immediately familiar to any team that's used to practicing Scrum or a Scrum-like methodology. And then as you move from top to bottom here, the CMMI process template is the most complex of process templates, and it just gives you more fields and workflows to actually track the status and the granularity of workflows across your project. For this project, I'll just stick with the Scrum process template and I'll say Create Project. Once my project has been created, I can use it to start tracking my software development project. Now there's lots of places we could go from here. We could start working with our backlog or we could start working with our source code. I'll start working with our source code. If you already have Visual Studio 2013 installed, you can just click on this button and it will open up Visual Studio and connect it to your Visual Studio Online project. If you don't yet have Visual Studio 2013, you can click to download a free trial or an Express Edition. And if you use another version of Visual Studio, you can open this link up the top to scroll down to the bottom and download the correct version of the tooling to connect your version of Visual Studio. What I'll do is just go ahead and open up Visual Studio 2013. And if I haven't already signed in, it's going to prompt me to sign in to my Visual Studio Online account. And the next thing I need to do is configure my workspace. When I configure my workspace, this basically creates a folder on my local computer that I can use to track my source code changes before I upload them back to the cloud. Now that we've mapped everything, if I come into Source Control Explorer, you'll see that I have an empty project that I can start working with. Create a new project. Just create a basic web application. And we can say that we want to add this project to Source Control. Now, if you have an existing project already, you can also add that to Source Control. Usually, you just right-click on the project and say you want to add it to Source Control. In this case, I'm going to select Team Foundation Version Control, and I'm just going to point at my existing folder, my web project, and click on OK. Now you'll notice here that we have a plus sign indicating that this has been added to my local workspace, but it hasn't yet been uploaded to my shared Visual Studio Online project. If I come into Pending Changes, I can call this my initial check-in, click on check-in, and it's going to go ahead and upload these files to Visual Studio Online. In fact, if we come back to the web interface now, and we click on code, you'll notice that my project has now been checked in. If you work with other team members, now might be a good time to add them so that they have access to your Visual Studio Online project. One way to do that is to go back to the Home tab, click on Manage, click on Add, and you can type the Microsoft account ID of the other team members. You can add up to 5 users to your team for free. Beyond that, you should check visualstudio.com to understand pricing for larger teams. Now let's start a backlog for the project. A backlog is just a centralized list of things that I want to either add to my project in the future or bugs that I need to fix. So I'll just add widget 1, add widget 2, and so on. And we can also track bugs in here as well. Once these items are added to the backlog, you can easily drag them up and down to reprioritize them, and you can do this on a regular basis to have conversations with your stakeholders and your customers about what priority they want you to work on certain capabilities. Another capability that Visual Studio Online provides to you is what's called a Kanban board. Kanban is a really great way to visualize the flow of work from what might start as an idea out to some piece of value that's been realized and delivered to your customer. And so you can pick up items that are on the backlog, and you can start to move them into the approved category, and that might signal to your team that this is work that maybe you've created a specification for, and you've agreed with the customer that this is work that you're going to actually deliver in this project. And once the team actually starts coding on it, they can then pick up that work and move it over into the committed column. There's other nice things you can do with the Kanban board as well. So for example, you might say that at any given time, you don't want to have more than, say, 2 items that the developers are actively working on. And so you can set a work in progress limit for the committed column to be 2. And what this will do is provide a visual indication to the team that says that if you try to add an additional item to the committed column, notice how this turned red. It's now giving me a signal that this is probably too much work. And we actually want to take the item we just added and push it back to the approved team so the team can really concentrate on getting this work done. You can also add new columns to the Kanban board as well to really suit your custom workflow. So for example, we might want to add a tested column here as well that indicates that work hasn't just been committed and programmed, but that you've actually tested it. And this could be a signal to the operations team that this functionality is ready to be pushed out to production, at which time they might take that work and move it over to the done category. Kanban provides a really nice way of tracking that continuous flow of value from an idea out to your customer. As your project gets bigger and more complex, you might decide that you want to start breaking down the work that you do into time-boxed iterations or sprints. And Visual Studio Online can help you with that. The first thing you'll need to do is actually define the dates for your iterations. So if you click on Settings, you can click on the dates. And for this particular iteration, we'll say that it's going to start, let's say, November 1st. And we'll also end on a Friday. So we'll say that we end on November 15th. We'll save those iteration dates. And then we'll set Sprint 2. You'll notice that it automatically defaults to the following Monday, which is nice. And then we'll close that on December 6th. And you can keep fleshing out the additional iterations that you have, and you can create new iterations if you want to. But at this point, we are okay with those particular iteration dates. And the next thing you can do is you can start to sign effort estimations. Now, there's a lot of different techniques and religions around how you estimate the size of product backlog items, but I'll just provide some numbers, kind of a rough order of magnitude of how much effort we expect each one of these user stories is going to take. Now that I've added effort estimations for all of my product backlog items and my bugs, there's a capability called forecast lines, which allows me to actually project when certain capabilities might be delivered in particular iterations. And here you can see I'm using a default velocity of 10, but you can also say, you know, we need to get more resources for the team, and that actually changes when we project items will be delivered. And maybe this, you know, fixing widget number 2 is actually really important, so we're going to drag that up to the top and see the impact that that has on your forecasting. So this just allows you to take a finer grained approach at prioritizing the backlog. I'm going to turn forecast lines off and show you another capability that you can use, which are called work item tags. Work item tags is a capability that allows you to add just ad hoc tags to work items that allow you to filter the work items based on what's most important to you. So I'm just going to add some tags that represent the various aspects of my web application. And now that I've added work item tags for all of my product backlog items and my bugs, I can use the filter capability to decide which ones I want to view as I'm looking at my product backlog. And so for this particular sprint, maybe it's a priority to the business that we really focus on customer service items. And so I can start to take these items and I can assign them to this specific sprint. Once I've assigned that work to this sprint, I can move into my sprint view, and this is where I can start to break down these items into the individual tasks that my development team will need to go achieve in order to finish off these backlog items. One of the nice things about the iteration view is that I can start to get a sense for how particular members of my team are with respect to capacity. In order to take advantage of that, you have to click on the capacity view, and you need to indicate how many hours per day an individual is going to be working on your project. After you've done that, you'll notice that on the right-hand side, we get a view showing the rough order of magnitude capacity for all of these team members. And so I can start to take this work and I can start to assign it to individuals. Now that I've provided hour information and assigned the task to the individuals on your team, I've noticed that Nicole is actually overworked. The good news is that both Brian and David have additional capacity, so I could take some of these items straight from here and reassign them to somebody else on the team, or I could use my task board view to do the same thing. The task board view is effectively your modern day implementation of post-it notes on the whiteboard. And so, for example, I might pick one of these tasks that's currently assigned to Nicole, and I'll just assign that to David, who has plenty of capacity. As people start working on these tasks, they can indicate that to the team by just moving that over to the in-progress category. Maybe as they start to burn down a certain number of hours on these tasks, they want to just tap that and indicate that David burned down 5 hours on that. Or when Brian finishes this, if he moves it all the way to the done column, you'll actually notice that it zeroes out the number of hours remaining automatically. If he decides, actually, I'm not really done with that, you'll notice that he gets an error. And that's because an item that's in progress cannot have a zero value for remaining work. So he can just come in here and indicate the additional amount of time he expects that to take him. Once he gets done with his tasks, and David is done with his tasks as well, you can actually start to collapse these product backlog items so the team really gets a consolidated view about what's remaining for their project. That was just a quick look at how to use Visual Studio Online to host your next software development project. There are many more capabilities that we didn't have time to cover today. I would encourage you to head over to www.visualstudio.com to find out about more of the capabilities we provide. For example, you can use our hosted build service to set up a continuous integration server in the cloud so that you can continually check in your code, build it, and find out if you've broken anything. We have cloud-based load testing capabilities, and the new Application Insights allows you to get real-time information about how your users are interacting with your application. So visit visualstudio.com today to sign up for your free account. Thanks for watching.